They proceeded down the tunnel for another 100 yards until it opened into a natural sea cave. The grotto was at least 50 feet high and 4 times as broad. The Japanese had constructed a concrete pier on one side of the subterranean lagoon. There was a set of narrow-gauge iron train tracks embedded in the cement for a mobile crane that had once been on the dock for unloading supplies.
"They brought ships in here?" Link said incredulously.
"I don't think so," Juan replied. "I noticed when the ferry docked that the tide had just crested. That was 7 hours ago, which puts us near low tide."
He played the light along the side of the quay where a thick carpet of mussels, clinging to the cement, indicated that high tide almost swamped the dock.
"I think they supplied the base using submarines."
He killed the light, and together they peered into the dark waters for any indication of sunlight penetrating this far into the cavern. There was a spot opposite the pier that glowed so faintly that it looked as if the waters weren't exactly blue, only less black.
"What do you think?"
Juan asked when he turned on the light.
"Sun's at its zenith. For it to be so dark in here, the tunnel has to be a quarter mile long or more."
There was only a single side chamber off the main cavern. Inside, they discovered a trickle of fresh water that seeped from a tiny crevasse high up the wall. The water had eroded a small bowl in the floor before meandering to the ocean.
"It's not cold beer," Link said, cupping his hands in the bowl. "But nothing's ever looked so refreshing."
Juan, aiming the flashlight around the room, indicated that Link should drink his fill. Propped against one wall was a row of strange stone tablets. All thoughts of thirst vanished as Juan studied the artifacts. They were roughly 4 feet tall and 2 wide, made of baked clay that was less than an inch thick. It wasn't the stones themselves that held him rapt. It was the writing. An awl or stick had been used to etch the clay before it had been fired, and despite the tablet's obvious antiquity, there was absolutely no sign of weathering. It was as if they had spent their entire existence in a temperature-controlled museum.
"What have you got?" Link asked.
He had washed the grime from his face, and water had cut runnels through the dust on his neck.
"Cuneiform tablets."
Link studied them.
"It's cuneiflower?"
"Cuneiform, perhaps the oldest written language on Earth. It was used by the Sumerians, dating back 5,000 years.
"What the heck are they doing down here?" Link asked.
"I haven't the foggiest idea,"
Cabrillo replied, reaching for his camera phone so he could take pictures of the tablets.
"I know later cuneiform script had a more abstract look to it, like a bunch of triangles and spikes. This looks more like pictographs."
"Meaning?"
"Meaning these date to the very earliest uses of the language."
He checked the images captured by his camera and reshot a few of them so they were clearer.
"These could very well go back 5,500 years or more, and they're in pristine condition. Most examples of cuneiform have to be pieced together from fragments as small as stamps."
"Listen, man, this is all well and good, but it isn't exactly helping our situation. Get some water, and let's get back to the jeep."
It would take an hour of hard climbing back the way they'd come, and another hour and a half before they reached their hidden jeep. Cabrillo had put the ordeal behind them even before they reached the top of the cliff. His mind was focused solely on the images stored on his cell phone. He didn't know how or why, but he was certain it was the evidence he needed to blow the case wide open.